Did you hear Caerphilly on the news yesterday morning? On the television news, Caerphilly was mentioned regarding an incident that happened 30 years ago. Pastor Cooper was our minister then, and the Sex Pistols were holding a concert in the Castle Cinema in Caerphilly. And a group of the churches got together and said we ought to protest about this because it was vulgar, obscene, and offensive. So we decided that we would go down and hold a service outside the cinema. Do you believe everything you hear on the news? The news report yesterday was completely biased in a negative way because everything they said was completely untrue. I suppose they think that what they reported 30 years ago, that probably there would be nobody around to question it. But we were there. I was there. So I know what happened. But they said that the group of people from the churches protested in such a way that he prevented people from going in to hear the concert. They even badgered the bus drivers and prevented them from transporting people from outside the area into the town. Now, where that come from, I haven't got a clue. Because we had met together in the church prior to going down, we prayed about the service, and we decided then that we would make no contact with anyone that wanted to go into this concert. They were free to go in, but we would hold our service across the other side of the road, facing the cinema, and we just sang a few hymns together. Pastor Cooper preached, and that was it. We made no contact with anyone at all. Only 15 people went in to the concert. The hall was almost deserted, and they felt really peeved about that, that only 15 people went in. So they made out that the church people had badgered the people and prevented them going in. There was nothing further from the truth. We never moved from the spot we were across the road, and people came. Some went in, but not many people turned up. As far as badgering the bus drivers and preventing them coming into the town, we weren't anywhere near any of the bus drivers. The buses passed where we were holding our service, and the buses passed as normal as far as we were concerned. On the news broadcast that they made, I don't know if you heard it, but there was a solo being sung in the background. Thou art the everlasting word, the Father's only son. That was Maureen, my wife, that was singing that song. And it was amazing because the television crews that were there concentrating and doing what they were, and eventually the presenter, or whoever it was, the organizer, when Maureen started to sing that, and she sang with such an anointing that it sent shivers down your spine, the anointing that was on that song, and the man arranging with the camera, and he said, quick, get this. Don't miss this. Get this. Whatever else you miss, don't miss this. Get this on camera. And he did. He was there glued while she sang that particular solo, and it was broadcast over the news media 30 years ago. But there it was again. I didn't recognize her, mind, 30 years on. But there she was, singing there to the glory of God. So don't believe everything that you hear on the news. It's twisted around to make a point. And they want to hold another concert in Caerphilly now, somewhere, the group that's involved somewhere along the line. They want to hold another concert. So there we are. They're free to do it. We made our point. Pastor Cooper was taken to Manchester by the television people and interviewed on a program that was called Brass Tacks. I don't know if you remember that, the program Brass Tacks. He said afterwards, he said, that is the first time I will be interviewed by the BBC, and that is the last time I will be interviewed by the BBC. And that was true, because they twisted or edited the interview that he had with them and cut off the vital parts and said, in answer to a question, have you got anything against the Sex Pistols? And he said, no, he said, I love these boys. And they cut the tape there and then went on. But he said, well, what he was concerned about, I love these boys as young men, but what they are doing and what they are portraying, that is what I am protesting about. He said, they are people who need the love of God the same as anyone else. They never broadcast that. They just cut it across. He said, well, what is your protest about? If you say you love them. But that was it. They cut the tape at a vital point and made out that all the protest was about nothing. The minister who preached was all in favor of them. So it twisted it all around. But I just mentioned that because you were saying about the brother being on, or he should have been on television yesterday, or whatever it was. But there was, Caffilly was on television yesterday on the news, and that's what it was all about. And we just sat there and we thought, I don't recognize that. That wasn't what happened on the actual day. What I want to say to you tonight is just to ask a question. And it's a question that's on many people's lips, I suppose. You hear it wherever you go, around the towns, or wherever you come. Are you ready for Christmas? I'm sure you've heard that somewhere over these past weeks. Are you ready for Christmas? And it's a question that's reiterated from many, many lips and asked in a way. But the question is in relation to all the preparations that go into Christmas time. But it's not about being prepared, whether you've bought all your gifts or whether you have your turkey ready and whatever the food that you want to eat over the Christmas festive season. That's by the way. The question still remains, are you ready for Christmas? And the incident relates to my mind as I read the scriptures, and there are two separate incidents that relate to what we call the Christmas story and what is shown to us today. But unfortunately, much of the Christmas story is conveyed from a Christmas card mentality and some of the carols that we sing. And the Christmas cards are not conveying the true story. And sometimes the carols that we sing misrepresent the true facts that are here for us in the scripture. There are only two incidents. The one is in the Gospel of Luke. The other is in the Gospel of Matthew. And there are two incidents. The one relates to the shepherds. The other relates to the wise men, as we call them. The three wise men. Where the three comes from, I don't know, because it doesn't mention three wise men. It mentions three gifts. It could possibly have been 10 kings bringing three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But that's beside the point. That's not where we're coming from here. But what I want to ask the question is, in relation to the shepherds on the hillside, were they ready for Christmas? That's the question that the whole thought that I want to bring you tonight, that's where the basis for the whole thought is. Were the shepherds ready for Christmas? If we put Christmas isn't mentioned here in the Gospel of Luke. Neither is it mentioned in Matthew. Christmas is a name that's been put upon it. If the world around us has its way, Christ will be taken out of Christmas completely. And all you'll finish with is a mess. That'll be the answer. The post office this year has declined to have any nativity stamps in case it offends other religious groups. Shame. I think we ought to offend a few more people. If it comes to that, if we are going to take Christ out of Christmas, all you're going to be left with is a mess. I don't like the term Xmas. Negative. It's taking Christ out of Christmas. So I say that Christmas wasn't mentioned here anywhere in the scriptures. It's a name that's been given to us. It's a holiday period. It's a time of celebration. But to a great degree, it is not celebrating the Christ who came. It is celebrating Christmas as a festive occasion, a time to party, a time to rejoice. Think of the shepherds. They say, were the shepherds ready for Christmas? No. The shepherds were doing what they always do, looking after sheep. And there they were on the mountainside, tending for, to, looking after their sheep and doing what shepherds normally do. And it was a particular time that all the activity that was going on, it was a time of census that was taking place around Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And these shepherds were working. And if you could enter into their lives and thinking, were they ready for Christmas? No, they were probably a little bit disheartened, because there they were doing their job, looking after sheep. All the activity was going on down in the valley. All the excitement, all the partying, or whatever it was that was going on at that time, all the people were gathered, the town was packed. For the scripture tells us that when Mary and Joseph came into the place, there was no room for them in any of the hotels or inns, as they called them. The only place they found was in a stable, and that's where the Christ was born. But all these activities were taking place, and the shepherds weren't ready for what happened. But in the Gospel of Luke, it tells us there that, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. The shepherds were in fear on the first Christmas, if that's what we put the terminology on it. The shepherds were fearful and afraid at this first Christmas. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." They weren't ready for this. They were on the night shifts, working nights when this particular occasion happened. They weren't even down in the city where all the activity was going on, where all the partying was taking place. They were there still working, not ready for anything to happen. They were just looking for the dawn to come, when their turn of duty would be over and the other shepherds would come in and probably look after the sheep for them while they went home and had a rest. But they weren't ready for what happened. "For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill to all men." These men weren't ready for this. They weren't prepared for it. It wasn't anything they expected when they went to look after sheep on this particular night. So it came as a complete surprise to them what happened. Have you ever thought, relating to Mary and Joseph, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Joseph, who it says he was engaged to Mary when the angel of the Lord came and spoke to her and told her that she would bear a child and his name would be called Jesus. The story unfolds there. But in the Gospel of Luke and chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth and to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." And I'm sure you have read that time and time again. You have heard it read from this pulpit, I'm sure, at Christmas time. It's all part of the Christmas story, the build-up. But can you put yourself in Mary's position? At this time, she is pregnant with child. The census is called where everyone has to register, and they have to register in the place of their birth. Joseph had to go back to the place where he was born in order to register. The census was to take place. And you read that verse in verse 4, "Joseph went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth and to Judea and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." Have you ever flicked over to the maps in the back of your Bible? turned over there and looked at the map and find out where Galilee was, the city of Nazareth, and looked down the page and eventually could come to Bethlehem. 10 miles to the inch, says the map. And you work it out, it's as the crow flies, it is roughly 80 miles. But there are mountains intervening, which probably the roads would go around the mountains. So add to it what you will to find a road that Mary and Joseph, with their donkey carrying whatever belongings they had with them, they probably traveled 100 miles, more or less, in order to get from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth and to Bethlehem. But this was not so much the story of the journeyings of Joseph and Mary, but the journeyings of Jesus. Jesus was not yet born. He was carried in the womb of Mary at this time, walking a 100-mile journey, probably occasionally riding on the donkey and just resting herself for a while. But the journey must have taken some time in order to arrive where they are. And when they got there, all the hotels were full. All they could find was a place to rest in the stable part of a hotel, or an inn, as they called them. Approximately 100 miles, more or less. But the journey was not so much about Joseph and Mary as the journeyings of Jesus. And Bethlehem's manger, where Jesus was born, was a stopover on the way to Calvary. When you think of the journeyings of Jesus, we don't want to go through the New Testament and make a track of his journeyings, but when you think of it, the scriptures had told way back in the Old Testament that thou Bethlehem Ephrata, who are least amongst the cities of Judah, that in you a king shall be born, the Savior that shall redeem the world was to be born here. When Mary was pregnant at this time, they were in Galilee, in the city of Nazareth. And in order that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, the Spirit of God works upon a man who is a ruler, and he calls a census in order that people will move from one place to another. And eventually Mary and Joseph are in the place where the prophets had said hundreds of years before where the Christ should be born. Are you ready for Christmas? Are you prepared for Christmas? In your journeyings, in your travelings that you will make and you have made over these past weeks and in the week that lies ahead leading up to what we call Christmas Day. It's a day that has been fixed on a calendar. Whether that is the actual day, December the 25th, it matters not to me. All I know that Christ was born, whether he was born in December or a lot will tell you it is nearer February as far as the time of the year was concerned. But that's irrelevant. It matters not when the Christ was born. A date has been fixed of December the 25th, and that is the date that we recognize as being the birthday of Christ. Dates don't matter. I no longer look for birth dates on my calendar. One is it my birthday. I try to blot it out so see if I can miss it. But they still come every year. Dates are irrelevant as to when the Christ was born. The important part of it is that Christ was born. In Luke, the Gospel of Luke, it talks of the shepherds and what they experienced at this Christmas time. The whole of the Gospel of Luke, there is no mention at all of the wise men. I don't think that the wise men ever met the shepherds. I don't think that the shepherds ever met the wise men. For the two incidents, the one in Luke and the one in Matthew, are two separate incidents altogether. They're related to the same incident, but at different times of a period of time. The one happened, it says, unto you this day is born a Savior, that is Christ the Lord. That was the day that the shepherds went to the manger. That was the day when the shepherds went down and saw the babe lying in a manger. You turn over back to the Gospel of Matthew, and in chapter 2 and verse 11, and it says that when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child. It's not talking of a manger. It's not talking of a babe in a manger, in a stable place. But this is talking of a young child in a house. The babe has now moved the way that I read the scriptures. You may read it differently for yourself. But the two incidents are not related. The wise men from the east. We relate back first to the Gospel of Luke. There is no mention of a star in the Gospel of Luke. The star is mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew. And the wise men, when they come, they said, "We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, these men were astrologers. They were people that studied the stars in the heaven. On the day that Christ was born, according to the Gospel of Luke, the angels came and announced the birth of Jesus. The star that appeared in the heavens was seen by the wise men. Now, I suppose scientists are no different today than they were at this time, and I don't think that they said, "Wow, there's a new star. Pack your bags, let's go. Let's go and see what it's all about." I'm sure that they studied their charts. They tracked the stars in the galaxies and worked it all out, and worked out that this star was an indication that a king had been born. Now, their working out didn't take place the same day that the shepherds saw that the Christ was born. But they saw his star from the east. Now, how many miles away that would be, I don't even know where they were from, probably India. And they didn't have jet planes. They didn't have fast cars. They had camels, and they walked. So how long it took them to walk from India to get to Jerusalem in order to go to the palace of Herod and ask him, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" And it would appear from the answer that Herod knew nothing at all about it. Probably, and I say probably because that there is no clarification in the scripture, there are two separate incidents, one in Matthew, one in Luke. Matthew always deals with the kingship of Jesus. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Verse 16, it says, When Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceeding angry, and he sent forth to put to death all male children who were in Bethlehem and in all the districts from 2 years old and under. So it is possible, I say, that when the wise men came, it is possibly somewhere in the region of 2 years after the shepherds had gone to the manger. Hence the shepherds and the wise men, there is no record of them ever meeting. There is no record of the shepherds in Matthew. There is no record of the wise men in the Gospel of Luke. It's not my purpose here to pull out anything from the scripture to take away. The shepherds came and they saw the baby Jesus. The wise men came and they presented gifts to the young child who was Jesus. But there is possibly 2 years between the two incidents. We had a Christmas card today when we went to church. We were given a card, a number of cards really. And amongst those cards, there was one card there with the three kings with their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh around the baby in a manger. The scripture doesn't say that. The Christmas cards say it. Some of the carols indicate that the wise men came to the manger and bowed down before the baby Jesus. The scripture doesn't say that. If we are going to be honest before God and believe in this day and be ready for Christmas as it really is, we must go by what the scripture says and not by what our Christmas cards tell us. That's all profit making. I don't suppose it'll be long before you won't find a Christmas card anywhere to send with anyone with any reference to the Nativity. Like the post office has done, and you've got snowmen and snow scenes and things like that. The Christmas cards will carry the same message. I bought a box of cards the other day. I thought they were a good bargain. They were originally £3. They were reduced to £2. Then they were reduced to £1.50. Then they were reduced to £1. When I bought them, they were 50 pence. Now, when I opened them up, I could see why they were 50 pence. There were a lot of joke cards in there about Christmas time. But there were a few cards that I could use that got the message over of greetings of Christmas time. But I get my own stickers and put, "Unto you a child is born, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That's the only way you can get many of the Christmas cards today. But I'm sure that as time goes on, that Christmas cards with a biblical message on them, giving the real truth, will disappear from the scene of time. And we will finish up with just snowmen. Happy Christmas. Seasonal greetings. And that's how the trend where things are going. But it's interesting when you read the scriptures that the first question that arises in the New Testament is found in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, when the wise men came from the east and they come to the King Herod and they say, "Where is he?" That is the first question in the New Testament. It's also very interesting that if you go back to the Old Testament, way back in the book of Genesis, in chapter 3 and verse 9, you find that that is the first question that's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it is man asking the question, "Where is he? Where is God?" In the Old Testament, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, it is God asking the question of Adam, and saying, "Where art thou? Where are you, Adam?" So the first question that God asked in the Old Testament was from God asking man, "Where are you?" The second question that comes, or the first question in the New Testament, is where is he? And that must be the change in our life. That must be the purpose where we are. That must be the aim of our lives, where we are heading at this time. What Christmas means to us. Are you ready for Christmas? Think about it in relation to the scriptures as they are given. The shepherds weren't ready. I'm sure that the wise men weren't ready for Christmas as we know it today. They didn't know where they were going. All they know was a star appeared in the heavens. And they worked it out scientifically by charts and various means until they set off from their home area and journeyed many, many miles until they came to Bethlehem, until they came to Jerusalem. Really, they went to the wrong place. But when they made inquiries there, they found where the star led them. And there they found Jesus. We're not following a star today. We're not looking into the heavens to see a star that will lead us. We're not looking for signs and wonders. Much of our searching today, I suppose, is, as I said earlier on, as we are looking around amongst the commercial world that we're living today, it's a job to find Jesus. The one scripture which can grip us if we take it out of its context, it says that they found the baby Jesus wrapped. And the problem is that we have today that much of our Christmas time, that Jesus can be lost in the wrapping. Be caught up in the trimmings. Caught up in all the activities of Christmas and the Christ that man is searching for, the Christ that the shepherds found, the Christ that the wise men journeyed halfway around the world to find, but eventually found him and inquired, where is he? Where is he? And that's the question that should ring in our hearts this Christmas amongst all the activities. I love Christmas time. I'm not Christmas bashing in any way. I love the Christmas activities. I love the festive season that it brings. But there is a danger that the Christ can be lost in the wrapping and forgotten, pushed to one side and left out. There's a story that was told many, many years ago, I suppose. Let's go back to the war years. And really, that the custom in America was that any family that had lost a son in the war, in the battles that were going on, it was customary that they hung a star in their window to indicate to any passers-by, and the star indicated that they had lost a loved one in the battles that were going on in the war years. And a little lad walking with his father through the streets of New York or wherever it would have been with the tall buildings, in walking along the road there, they come to a gap in the buildings. And looking through the gap in the buildings, that the star, the bright star that was there in the heavens was shining between the buildings. And the young lad turned to his father and he said, Dad, he said, does this mean that God has given a son in the war? What a question. But in the young child's mind was in every window that they passed and seeing the star, that there was an indication that a son had been given in the battles. But the young child looking at that and seeing a star in the heavens, does that mean that God has given a son in the battle that is being fought? True. Very true. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the message. That is the true message of Christmas. God's gift to mankind. We give gifts one to another. We share our love one to another in sharing gifts one to the other. But God has given the greatest gift that man could ever have, and that is eternal life. Are you ready for Christmas? Are you prepared for Christmas? Are you seeking for the Christ in Christmas? Where is he? Where is he? If you walk around the towns and stores and shops, wherever you go today, walk into the store and take a walk around many of the big stores and put the question in your mind, where is he? Where is he? There's not much that you will find that will lead you to Christ amongst the big stores in our commercial world that we live today. But Christ is there if we seek for him. We search diligently. We will find him. He is there amongst us. Let's seek the face of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer for a moment and ask us that God will draw near to us, minister to us. I'm sure you heard the Christmas message for many, many years as I have. I wonder what you are seeking. You've come this night to rejoice in together, wonderful, to share together with the children, with the adults as they sing the message of Christmas. Are you asking yourself the question tonight? You've come into this church building. You've come here to meet with God. And I want to ask you this question once again. Are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready? If not, you can be. You can be ready for Christmas. You can find the Christ, whether he be in the manger or whether he be in the house. He is there to be found, and if we seek for him with all our hearts, we will find him. Father, we bring this word to thee now and ask thee, our Father, as it is bread cast upon the water, that, Lord, that you will take of the word that we have given, bring it to the hearts of people, we pray. Should there be one tonight that is seeking and longing to find the Christ that has been lost in Christmas, we pray that that reality will come and will dawn in a wonderful way to know the fullness of Christ at this Christmas time. In Jesus' name, amen.